Okay, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Samuel. And we're going to read a big chunk. Oh, I'm sorry, 1 Samuel, chapter 24. 1 Samuel, chapter 24. And we're actually going to read the whole chapter from verse 1 to 22. And I just was doing my devotional yesterday. I just started reading, and I ended up reading, I think, almost like 20 chapters. I was just so drawn into it, like the story and the drama and the details. And so, anyways, I just want to give you guys one chapter. So, 1 Samuel chapter 24, and I will read from verse 1. Now it came about when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. And the men of David said to him, "Behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I am about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you.' Then David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. And it came about afterwards that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. So he had said to his men, 'Far be it from me because of the Lord that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him since he is the Lord's anointed.' And David persuaded his men with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul arose and left the cave and went on his way. Now afterward David arose and went out to the cave and called after Saul, saying, 'My Lord the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men, saying, "Behold, David seeks to harm you"? Behold, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord had given you today into my hand in the cave, and some said to kill you, but my eye had pity on you, and I said, "I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Now my father, see the edge of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you. No one perceive that there is no evil or rebellion in my hands, and I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait for my life to take it. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, out of the wicked comes forth wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog, a single flea? The Lord therefore be judge and decide between you and me, and may he see and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand." Now it came about when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" Then Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have dealt with me while I have dealt well with me while I have dealt wickedly with you. And you have declared today that you have done good to me, that the Lord delivered me into your hand, and yet you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? May the Lord therefore reward you with good in return for what you have done to me this day. And now, behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your name, in your hand. So now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's household." And David swore to Saul, and Saul went to his home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Amen. Just a couple points on this morning. One, the idea of God's anointed or covering for God's anointed. And one idea of this is when I consider our leaders, you know, not just here at Solomon's Porch, but, you know, leaders in the church, leaders that I had been mentored or grown, you know, under. There's one aspect where if you're just coming on Sundays and you hear the preacher, you know, we're well aware of, you know, the celebrity status that some pastors or whatnot can gain, especially of larger congregations and whatnot. And if that's as far as your relationship goes, then you know, you're blessed by the pastor, you receive, and, you know, when you see, you know, a pastor of, say, like a 10,000 person megachurch, you know, you're almost like, "Man, I want to take a picture with him or something." But the truth is, the more you actually spend time with any person, not just a pastor, and here at Solomon's Porch, we have privy to, you know, we're not a megachurch, so we get a lot of access and a lot of time. And so I actually remember one brother, I think it was Matt, he was really excited to go on a mission trip, his first mission trip with the head pastor of Solomon's Porch. And he, you know, at that time he maybe not had spent so much time. And when he went out, he was expecting you know, great spirituality and wow, you know, holiness just to exude, just to flow out. And sure enough, you know, I think he was just very casual. I think they watched TV all day or whatnot. And so in the back of Matt's mind, it's like, oh, wow, this, you know, pastors are normal. All to say, the more you spend time, the more you recognize flaws. The more you recognize, okay, this guy is not perfect. I mean, obviously. But there's that one end, and there's that other end where when you're pastors or leaders or house church leader, you know, there undoubtedly there'll be a time or an opportunity where they fail, a time or an opportunity where something slips, where they're not as godly, or you know, something that maybe they've been battling with or struggling with, a particular struggle or sin, kind of comes out and gets the better of them. And we have a couple choices. One, we can cover them, or two, we can expose them. A good example of this is when you consider Noah. He had fallen drunk, you know, of his own sin, of his own weakness. And if you guys recall, in Genesis 9, chapter 9, verse 22, 23, his youngest son, Ham, you know, sees his father's nakedness, and then comes back to his brothers and you know, basically, hey, guys, you know, our father is drunk and he's naked. And he didn't do anything about it. He just kind of came and exposed the situation. And the other two sons, recognizing that their father was in sort of a dishonoring situation, take a blanket between the two of them and walk in backwards so that they don't see the father's nakedness. Walking backwards with a covering blanket, and then they lay over. Sure enough, Noah wakes up and you know, curses Ham for exposing his you know, nakedness, and then blesses the other two sons for covering. So there is something about you know, looking out for our leaders, kind of, you know, even as an associate pastor, you know, with my other pastors or with other leaders, you know, I'm looking for opportunities to cover, and I recognize that the enemy. I mean, this is how dissension begins. This is how divisions begin. You know, would totally love to feed these thoughts into your hearts. You know, well, this, look at this leader. Look at these faults. Look at these weaknesses. You know, can you really follow someone like that? Can you really give to a church or whatnot? And so the enemy totally bombards, and it's almost like a mental or spiritual checklist in the back. Well, this is where his weaknesses are. Therefore, I don't expect myself to be able to uphold these, you know, areas in my spirituality. But that's not the case. So we're looking for areas where we can cover. In this particular case, David has an opportunity, and in one sense, you could say, and this is kind of how his, you know, his combatants or his men in arms kind of perceive the situation. Look, the Lord has delivered Saul to you. Look at the situation today. He has called you to be king. Yet at the same time, when he goes in to cut off the edge of the Saul's coat, you know, something it says in verse 5, 24:5, that his conscience bothered him. Something was going on in his heart that this is not right. And it clicks. This is still God's anointed. This is still somebody that God had called into and given his blessing over. So David, in effect, would not, and this is kind of what Michael Pierce has said a few weeks back when he had come, when he was given his testimony about, you know, how his family desperately needed a car. Remember, they had two cars, a nice car, Honda, and an old car, Ford. And they gave away, God told them to give away the good car. And sure enough, the old car was breaking up and busting up. And they were, you know, a month or whatnot time had passed, and God had told them that they would receive another car. And yet they were in a situation where their current car, their single car, the Ford, was going to break down, a desperate situation. It came all the way down to the end of the line. And the wife says to the husband, Michael Pierce, hey, we need to get a car now. We can't function. And Michael Pierce says to his wife, we will not initiate on God's behalf for what he said he would provide. And that spoke so powerfully to me. Right? So you have faith for what God says he's going to provide. Right? He's given you that word. And then you wait. There's a difference between waiting patiently and waiting faithfully. Right? Patiently, anyone can wait patiently. You know, if a kid knows he's going to get a piece of candy at the end of his meal, as much of a struggle as it is, a kid can wait patiently. Any man, any woman in any situation when they know that something is going to come at the end of an event, can wait patiently. But when you have faith, when you say we wait faithfully, you're not entirely certain. There's been no guarantee that what has been said is actually going to be given to you. Therefore, we wait in faith. And so Michael Pierce says, look, God says he's going to provide this second car. Therefore, we're not going to initiate on God's behalf. And a lot of us, we take that step of faith and we receive that word. And, you know, however big or small in situations in the past, we've kind of initiated on God's behalf. Okay, well, God, you said you're going to do it. So here, let me help you out a little bit. And we kind of press the envelope a little bit. We kind of position ourselves. And positioning ourselves is not necessarily a bad thing. But here, you know, David has his heart. And here Saul is the anointed. And God says, yeah, I'm going to deliver you. David, you're going to become king. And David knows that Saul is going to, you know, die at the edge of the sword. Yet at the same time, in faith, and given in this opportunity and given the circumstances and the perception of those, you know, closest to him that say, look, the Lord has delivered, yet he recognizes, no, I'm not going to initiate. I'm not going to force God's hand. I'm not going to make myself king. God said he's going to do it, and God's going to do it. And so on one end, you know, I love this passage, and it's just really a testament to David's heart, right? I mean, you know, as I was reading through chapters on, you know, sure, David has his faults. Sure, David has his follies. Time in and time out, I think one of the greatest attributes of David or the greatest example is that, yeah, he was a great man of God, but he also failed. But when he fell, man, he was quick to humble himself. He was quick to repent. And I was thinking about this even late, you know, in the late hours last night, you know, this journey of life, you know. We have our highs, you know, if you were to draw a chart, right, and a timeline or whatnot, we have our spiritual highs, and when we're so devoted and so devout and so committed and so obedient, really is the key word, obedience. And there are times where we kind of slip and we're kind of feeling low and the enemy has his way, kind of attacking, and then high points, low points, and kind of a chart. But God's love for us is steady, right? However high or peak, however you can graph it, it's steady. It's never changing. And in fact, where is it in verse? I just close with this verse. I read on all the way into 2 Samuel. It's 2 Samuel. You don't have to turn that. I'll read it for you. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And this is kind of, you know, David has been established as king, and you know, Pastor Sam preached on this. David built his palace and whatnot, and now he wanted to build a dwelling place for God. And God is telling him, no, it won't be you, it's going to be Solomon. And but he goes on to say this in verse 14, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. And this is the Lord speaking to Solomon. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. Verse 15, but my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. So my loving kindness shall not depart from him. So despite our ups and downs, despite, you know, seasons or bouts of defiance or childlike, you know, tantrums and whatnot, you know, God will correct us, right? He will discipline us, and it won't be pleasant, but his loving kindness will never depart from us. And that should bring us a lot of peace. You know, who knows what's to come in days to come? Who knows how faithful and how we'll react? And my prayer is that we would, you know, like David, just be men and women who constantly revere God and love God, you know, to the point where, you know, when I, you know, a couple of things on David, you could do a whole sermon series, but man, he had no fear of man, right? I mean, think about it. You know, who would be his you know, number one commander in arms, you know, when he would become king, the general, whatnot. You know, these are the very ragtag soldiers that are with him now. And, you know, his commanders of his army, here they are giving him a word of wisdom. And he says, no. Look, I know strategically, militarily, it makes sense, but no, I'm not going to go against the Lord's anointed. You know, bringing in the ark into the kingdom, you know, when he's, you know, crowned king, or when he had been king. And dancing, you know, naked and just, you know, carefree before, you know, the people of his nation. And the wife, Michelle or Macau, you know, it says, you know, how honored were you today? Who cares? You know, I'll be even more undignified for my God. He had no fear of man, but he had complete reverence for God. And that reverence caused him to live in obedience. And despite, you know, weaknesses and failings here and there, you know, the real story is that God's favor and blessing was over David. And God's favor and blessing are over his children, over his people. So let's bow our heads this morning. And I just really want to meditate on this closing verse. But my loving kindness shall not depart from you. God's favor, as we seek after him, as we the Bible will say, kind of gird your loins, or, you know, as we would kind of buckle in, as we get into the trenches, you know, stand firm, you know, we're not going to, you know, force God's hand. We're not going to manipulate situations, you know, where God really has only one choice. But some of us, there are things that God's called us to, and God has called us to wait patiently, whether it's a job or whatnot. And there's some things that God said, go, has given you the green light, initiate. And in that, you got to obey as well. Just come before the Lord. Just spend some time just meditating on the word that he's given you today. Actually, in 2 Samuel, there was actually a second opportunity. Saul actually goes back on his word and actually pursues David again, even after that incident in the cave. And David has a second opportunity. I thought this was fascinating. And, you know, during the camp, goes up to Saul while he's sleeping, and there's a spear and a jug of water right by his head. And one of the soldiers that had come down with David says, let's strike him, let's kill him. He's, you know, he went back on his word. And David says, again, I'm not going to raise my hand out against God's anointed. And so they take the spear and the jug and whatnot, and they prove to Saul again. And sure enough, Saul later on in the battle, he and his sons all pass. But verse 10 in this verse, it says that David became greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts was with him. Right? That's really what we want. We want the favor of God to be on us. And that comes with, you know, a heart like David, right? A man after God's own heart. Right? Just a reverence and love and obedience. Right? Zero fear of man. I think that's where it kind of begins. So Lord, we come before you this day. And Father, each of us, God, we just want to confess, Lord, that if we put anything between us, God, that if we raised up any person or position or title or situation, God, we just lay that down before you today. Father, if we've been acting, you know, just in fear of man, in fear of what they think or what they say, God, we just confess that before you. And we just proclaim today, God, that there's no other name above us than your name. God, that we lift your banner, your name on high. God, that we desire not for material possessions or material wealth, Father God. And we know those things can come or favor in the blessing in the form of material things. But Father, first and foremost, God, we want your presence. God, we want to know that when, you know, when we move to the left or that when we move to the right, God, that in fact, you're pleased with us, that we have your anointing over us. God, we want to walk, in the Spirit and just know, Father God, that whatever we're doing, we may not know where it ends. But God, that we have complete peace, that this is where you're at and this is where we want to be. So Father, I just pray covering and blessing over each of us today. God, the things that you've called us to, the faith, the measures of faith that you've given us. God, the things that you've given us a green light on, God, that we would go and walk into it obediently, Father. And the things that you've called us to wait patiently or faithfully in, God, that we would not initiate or force the hand of. God, just, you know, the enemy is so guile and so conniving, Father God. So we just pray against those thoughts, Father God. We block them and guard our hearts against them, God, that we would clothe them in some sort of spirituality. God, that you would allow us in the Spirit to distinguish and to pinpoint, God, what is of you and what is not of you. God, that we may walk freely and openly in faith with you. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Bless us. God, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's spend some time. Let's just pray for our leaders, as I was saying about our devotion. Let's pray for Pastor Sam, Pastor Nate, Ken. They're actually all going to Korea today for one of our church members' wedding, Kiwan and Christina. So let's just pray for them, covering protection. Pastor Sam's leading the ceremony. I think it's about 1,000 people, I think they said. And then they're going to get some time with family or whatnot. So just pray covering over them, myself, as I'm leading the service this Sunday. Just favor and protection. Let's pray covering over our house church leaders over this season, that God would guard them, you know, in their time of break. All our ministry leaders, just pray covering. And if we've ever, you know, had a thought of accusation or judging, then let's confess that before the Lord now, over any leader, any person of position of leadership in the church. Let's just confess that and let's, you know, seek the Lord in this and how we can cover and how we can bless, how we can pray, how we can encourage. So let's cover our leadership. Lift up our meetings this weekend. We have the worship service. We have some people volunteering to help lead the service. Fabi is going to be leading worship. Let's pray for our Sunday school. We're going to be quite short staffed. Let's pray for those who are leading that day. Pray for youth group. Janice Chan is going to be leading the youth group service Saturday night in place of Pastor Nate. And there's actually a Saturday night on the Korean side, KM, youth outreach. So if you could pray for that event, it's 6 p.m. on Saturday night, just for revival. Non-believers are going to be coming and whatnot. So just pray covering over this weekend. Pray covering over the church. Continue to pray for the building fund and our process of growth as a body. So let's pray for that. Father, we want to thank you, God, that you're so patient with us, God, and that you have such favor over us because the blood and the covering of your Son, because of your perfect Son, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, God, that you will never leave us, Father, that you will never forsake us, God, that though we may go back and forth at times, God, that your love for us, your loving kindness for us is always steady, is always there. And God, we just pursue, God, we seek and we walk towards you today in all things. Bless us, God, as we seek your face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day.